Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Keeping the faith in Sting. This is Soundcheck. I'm Elliot Forrest in for John Schaefer. Today, it's Sting versus Sting in our weekly debate. Plus, Brooklyn's divisive Atlantic Yards project has inspired a musical. We'll hear a live performance from the cast of the new show, In the Footprint. But first, Sting. He started his career in the late 1970s as frontman for The Police and released a series of solo albums starting in the late 80s. But then around 1993, something changed. Many fans and critics couldn't forgive him for trading in his reggae punk roots for classical and jazz. But others say he's aged and matured like a fine wine. What do you think? Is Sting past his prime, or is he still pop's reigning king of pain? It's this week's
Soundcheck Smackdown!
We've drawn the demarcation line around 1993, as you heard, and we're ready to pit early Sting against late Sting. On the line to say that the Englishman in New York's best time is now is music critic Steve Allman, and telling us she got a message in the bottle and it told her early Sting is where it's at is music writer Allison Stewart. Welcome to you both.
Hi.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. Let me start with you, Allison. Let's start with the early Sting. Why were those days so great?
Well, back, I guess, in the early days of The Police, even up through his early solo work, he was just fun. He was raw. He was a little angry, but not too much. He was really great at melding ska and punk and rock, and he wasn't sort of full of himself. I mean, I think inside Sting there was always kind of a stuffy English lord waiting to come out, but it hadn't come out yet. So those were the fun years.
And Steve, it's a little bit of a tough argument to make. You've got the short end of the stick, we think, today, but defend it. Why later Sting? Why are you a fan of him?
Yeah, you know, you're making me, it's like being a mob lawyer, you know. Like my defendant, my client is an upstanding taxpayer like the rest of you. Well, you know, I think that Sting has always been pretentious with jazz aspirations. He's been a sex symbol, the one name in the socially conscious music. He's always had a big target on his back. But I think his recent albums are the equal of, I will say, bravely, his early solo work. You know, a song like Brand New Day from the 1999 post-1993 cutoff, that song is Sting in a nutshell. The first 40 seconds are full of his sort of world music experimentation, but then you get to about the minute mark and it just locks in, and it is this monster AOR hit. He totally nails it.
We're going to hear Brand New Day in just a moment, but play the flip side for me, Steve. What was wrong with early Sting?
Well, you know, early Sting, it's a little bit like, you know, do you like early Two-Buck Chuck or late Two-Buck Chuck? I mean, you know, I'm not enough of a Stingologist, Allison might be, to really get impassioned about how terrible Dream of the Blue Turtle is, but I actually find his recent work, especially his Christmas album that he just released a year ago, is fantastic. And I'm totally excited when a rock star who could just mail it in and just hit the nostalgia tour and make millions off the latest corporate sponsor actually continues to do interesting, ambitious work, whether it succeeds or not.
You're talking about If on a Winter's Night from 2009?
I am indeed.
Yeah. Allison, let's play the other side for you. What's so bad about the later Sting?
Well, I mean, I think Steve's right that he experimented in later years in ways that a lot of older musicians don't, and he definitely gets bonus points for that. But there's just nothing lively about the music. It's very much museum pieces. It's taxidermy in a way. There's nothing exciting about it or new about it. It tries to be grand and interesting more than it tries to excite, I think. And you would never accuse the early Police of that. Back then, they were a lot livelier, I guess, and Sting makes music for people to listen to in their English manners, and I don't know. I think that's sort of a betrayal of how he started out.
Steve, let's talk about songwriting. As you've said, you're a big fan of the late Sting, and you picked out Brand New Day. Let's take a listen to a little bit of this, and it's good for a lot of reasons, huh? From 1999, Brand New Day, Sting, from the later period, as we've defined it, in our SmackDown. Steve, tell me again why this is a big hit for you.
Well, now, come on. You can spend a long time slagging the first 40 seconds of that song, but that is a Quiet Storm AOR soul funk monster. That is, I don't even want to like that song. There is a part of my genetic snarky music critic DNA that wants to hate that song because it's easy to dance to and it's pleasurable in simple ways. But that, folks, is what rock and roll is. That's what it's for. That's what it does. And that song, Inside, from the his next album, Sacred Love, those are just great hits. The guy should not be penalized for being able to consistently write great hits, even though he does pick up the lute, and does invite sort of the jazz and world music community into his music, not always to the music's benefit.
Let me get Allison into the ring. Come on, what's wrong with that? Brand New Day. Pick it apart.
It's not a terrible song. I think that it's more about how he got there. If he had never done something like Roxanne or Message in a Bottle, then that would be great. But when you compare it against the early work, it just seems so stifled. And, I mean, he started out really great, and it was a long road to get to something like Brand New Day. It's not like he was making punk-inspired albums one day, and then he woke up the next morning and said, you know, I think a lute solo would be really good here. You just have to look at the progression, steadily growing worse and worse throughout the decades until you get to Brand New Day, and it just doesn't hold up.
Let's talk about Message in a Bottle. Wow. You're hurt, I can tell.
Well, I'm just like, hey, look, you know, it all leads to Metamucil eventually. That is just aging. That is life. That is the depressing path we take.
Let me let you have your song, Allison. You like Message in a Bottle. It's the song they picked to open up their reunion tour. Why is it such a great song?
I think that Sting in the early days was very, very good at communicating loneliness and alienation in ways that a lot of other people weren't. And I think that's something else that he's lost over the years. And this song is probably the best example they've ever done of that sort of feeling, communicating that kind of feeling.
Let's turn it up.
Love can mend your life, but love can't.
Elliot Forrest in for John Schaefer. We've got a smackdown on early Sting or late Sting. What do you think, listeners? Tell us what you think about Sting. Is early Sting the best, or do you side with Steve for late Sting? You can call us at 212-433-WNYC or leave a comment on the soundcheck page at WNYC.org. Joel Meyer in our studio. We've got some comments on our webpage.
That's right, Elliot. Caitlin from Red Bank seems to be siding with Steve Almond. Caitlin writes, Sting's continued study in music, vocal training, varied instruments, etc., has allowed me, as a Sting fan, to broaden my musical horizons. Love him with The Police, as well as all of his amazing solo work. Now, on the other side of the argument, Elliot, Ilfig sides with Allison and writes, nothing Sting did solo is greater than The Police. The Police were great because of all three musicians. If he wants to write self-help books and do charity, then do it, but please leave the music alone.
Steve, that's that is really a tough argument to set up here because, this is one of the great bands of all time, right?
Yeah, they are. So I'm not going to argue. Like, Day on the Green, 1984, 1983, I was probably under the influence of some marijuana, but I was there. I remember flashes of it, and it was The Police live, and they were fantastic. I'm never going to argue against The Police. But I do want to call to the stand, if I may, the song Soul Cake, my new personal favorite song from that album you mentioned, If on a Winter's Night. This is the late, late, late Sting, the last original work that he's put out. And it's a Christmas album. It all spells disaster. You think it's going to be terrible, but I would warrant that if you play Soul Cake, your listeners will probably curse me for it, but they will get this song in their brain pan. It's an amazing song.
All right, let's take a listen to it.
Any good thing to make us all merry, Soul Cake, a Soul Cake. Please, good misses, a Soul Cake. One for Peter, two for Paul, and three for him that made us all. God bless the master of this house, and the mistress also, and all the little children that round your table grow, the cattle in your stable, the dogs at your front door. And all that dwell within your gates will wish you 10 times more. Soul Cake, a Soul Cake, please good misses, a Soul Cake. An apple, a pear, a plum, or a cherry, any good thing to make us all merry. Soul Cake, a Soul Cake, please good misses, a Soul Cake.
Sting from 2009 from his album If on a Winter's Night. What do you think, early Sting, late Sting? We want to hear from you. 212-433-WNYC. Allison, are you a changed woman after hearing that song?
See, I like Sting, but that song just makes me want to punch him in the throat. I mean, that's just, to me, everything that's wrong with him, it's just really dreary and overly serious. I think you can make a case for his early solo stuff where it was still a little lively and fun, but there's experimentation too. But that just takes it too far. I mean, that's just beyond easy listening.
Come on, Allison, I'm prescribing you a Soul Cake. I'm sorry, you need to consume it. Even getting your Soul Cake,
I'm
going
to vote early, Sting, but I do feel like we're giving Stuart Copeland and Andy Summers short shrift here. I mean, it's no small part of why that was so good was because of them.
Is that Ben? Are you there? Is that you?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it was a full band. It's not just about Sting, right?
Exactly. I mean, we're talking about it like it's early him and not him. And I know he wrote the vast majority of the songs, but give me a break. Those guys were some of the best people on their instruments that ever lived. So I somewhat feel like it's a faulty question, but I'm still going early.
Ben, thank you so much for calling in. Let me get to something extremely important and superficial at the same time, and that is looks. Do you like the look of the early Sting or the looks of the later Sting? Let me start with you, Allison.
I think he's aged really well. I do. He's still foxy.
And Steve?
Yeah, let me just complete the arc of never possibly ever having sex with another woman again that this segment is really building towards for me. I also think that he has aged exquisitely. The receding hairline, a struggle that many of us deal with, been very sort of took the tantric shortcut right around that. Not a problem at all. Shows a lot of man cleavage, and it always looks smooth and delicious.
Yeah, he's up there with Bruce Springsteen as men who've just aged inexplicably well. Male rock
and
music ages really well.
That's part of the reason that people hate him, I think, partly, is that he is the classic pretty boy. I mean, you know, rock and roll stars
if they have that thing where they're not rough and tumble and rebellion personified, you know, Keith Richards, if they look that pretty, there's got to be something wrong with them. It makes them, I think, it makes us more likely to dislike an amazing song like Soul Cake, even though it's so amazing.
I have to play the ultimate referee here and say that I saw the Police with the Go-Go's opening for them in 1982 at Madison Square Garden. And then he was actually in our studios here at WNYC just a few months ago, and I got to interview him. So I'm playing in the middle here. I really like them both. We're going to continue with our sound check Smackdown on Sting. We're going to continue that in a moment with your calls and your comments. We're going to continue the SmackDown on Sting in a moment, and later...
Brooklyn is a city of neighborhoods. Brooklyn is a city
musical
of
theater inspired by the Atlantic Yards development in Prospect Heights, Brooklyn. We'll hear a live performance from the cast of In the Footprint. I'm Elliot Forrest, in for John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.
And Manhattan runs from Greenpoint down to Red Hook. Higher in density...
My love among the fields of barley. We'll forget the sun in his jealous sky as we lie in fields of gold.
I'm Elliot Forrest, in for John Schaefer. It's a Soundcheck Smackdown on early Sting or late Sting. On the phone with me, Steve Almond, author of Rock and Roll Will Save Your Life, and Allison Stewart, a music writer for the Washington Post's Click Track. Let's take a call from Mike from Long Island. What do you think? Early, late, where are you?
Steve, I have to ask a question quickly. What was the year of Ten Sumner's Tales?
Do you know that, Steve?
Ten Sumner's Tales was 93, I think. Yeah, 93.
Okay, well, right at that line of demarcation there, I think that was the best work that he's ever produced. Even though the pomposity of the title itself, but he took himself very lightly in that album. There was a lot of fun stuff, great time signatures. I would have to say that was probably his best work ever.
So that 93 is where we very arbitrarily put the demarcation line. I don't know if that's early or late then yet. What do you think, Allison?
I think that we're considering 93 and on to be late, and anything before Ten Summoner's Tales, that's my area of early.
And what do you think of that that album?
I don't know. I don't think that was the worst thing he ever did. I think the album he did with All This Time on it, I forget what that was called, that was his best solo album ever, probably. And that was before that. So he had some good solo stuff. It's just inconsistent and a little too arty for me.
And we talked about his looks a little bit a moment ago. The voice, has it held up? Has it changed, better, worse, Steve?
I think his voice is totally held up. I think it's one of those voices actually that ages quite well because it's naturally gravelly and, it's gotten a little bit more so. And I think, the real line of demarcation with Sting is, do you like him with the Police or do you like him as a solo artist? And I think the fact that we're still talking about him as a solo artist speaks to what a great songwriter he is. Nobody is sitting there going, wow, what about Roger Daltrey? How do we feel about early Daltrey versus late Daltrey? I mean, it's a testament. I mean, maybe there's somebody out there, a very angry caller, who's now going to call you and harangue you about early versus late Daltrey, but I don't think so. I think Sting is a guy who makes albums. Some of them are pretentious. Some of them are filled with pretentious music. He maxes out on the credit card of his own depth and talent a lot of times. But at the bottom of it, he just writes absolute monster melodies and, has a really, maybe it came from Stuart Copeland, that influence, but has kept a beautiful time signatures in his work and more complex ones. And I just think that has been consistent through his oeuvre.
Let's. You don't hear "oov" often enough. That's a really good word. I know. It's one of my favorites.
It's a sting word.
People are looking it up and Googling it right this very moment. Let's go to Joel Meyer in the studio and find out what people are saying on the website.
You know, Elliot, you've got me. I have no idea what that word means. But I do know that Rachel from New York is sort of siding with Steve here. Rachel writes, "How many former rock stars only ever play their hits from 30 years ago? Sting has shown constant creativity and growth over the years. All the power to him. He's a brilliant musician, and yes, the Police rocked, but how strange would it be if he were still playing ska punk now?" Now, Elliot, here's what Antonio from Mexico City has to say. "Come on, it's got to be early Sting. Everything up to 10 Sumner's Tales is quite rewarding. Shape of My Heart and If I Ever Lose My Faith in You are way more listenable than the dreaded Symphonicities, a classical lute album, or Brand New Day. To me, classic early Sting all the way."
Well, you know, it wouldn't be complete unless we played Sting with strings. So I think we should maybe do a little before and after. In the last year, Sting has released two albums with the Royal Philharmonic Concert Orchestra. Symphonicities is the studio album, and last week's Live in Berlin release is a variation on the theme. This, of course, is the original from 1978. Let's take a listen. Roxanne from 1978, obviously early Sting. We'll flip ahead to this year. Now, Sting, same song, with strings.
I have to tell you how I feel. I will share you with another boy. You know my mind is made up. So put away your makeup. Told you once, I won't tell you again. It's a bad way. You don't have to put on the red light, Roxanne. You don't have to put on the red light.
Let's go to Sid calling from Louisiana. You told our screener Roxanne is your favorite song still. Sid, are you with me? I'm not sure we have him. I got to get you in here, Allison. What do you think?
Well, it makes me interested to see what a Police reunion would be like. I mean, because Sting has grown artistically and gone in so many different directions over the past couple decades. I know they got back together, but just to do the same old stuff, it makes me wonder what a new Police album would sound like, if it would synthesize the best of what I like and what Steve likes.
I think it's a good thing, and they did the one reunion tour. You think they're likely to do it again?
I don't know. I'm always suspicious of reunion tours where they don't actually make an album. Then it just seems like a cynical kind of cash grab. I don't know if they'll actually record an album. I'd love to hear it if they did.
Let's go back to Sid in Louisiana. Roxanne, your favorite song? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I think it is. I think that early Police stuff, especially Roxanne's, my favorite stuff that Sting's ever done.
And what about the arrangement with the strings? How'd you like that?
You know, I think Clapton can get away with re-releasing Layla in an acoustic version, but no, I don't want to hear Roxanne like that ever again.
All right, Sid, thanks so much for calling in. We appreciate that. We mentioned the anniversary tour. Steve, tell me, what do you think? Good idea, bad idea? What did you think about that?
Well, you know, the socially conscious, like, humanist in me goes, ah, cash grab, terrible, it's a corporate sponsorship, it's just hope I die before I get old, good, do die, don't do the cynical rock star, aging rock star thing. But Allison makes a good point. I mean, I would be interested to see whether there was any chemistry left between those three guys, and if, because I always felt like Copeland and Andy Summers kind of kept the Paul McCartney-esque Sting qualities in check, that go for the gimmicky melody, go for the simple song, and they also sort of kept in check his pretentious, you know, King of Pain excess. So, like, I'm going to make a proggy kind of record. So I'd be interested to see if those guys, if they could ever patch things up in a long-term way, could make some new music. But I'm not interested in another Visa-sponsored, you know, aging a nostalgia tour. I mean, I'm just personally, I think that I'd rather listen to people making new music than kind of swimming in their backwash.
And Steve, you've championed the later Sting, and I have to just put on my classical music hat for a moment, and all the classical music that Sting has done between the lute and Twin Spirits and traveling with the orchestras. For what it's worth, I think he's brought a lot of listeners to classical music, and I think it's a good thing. Is that part of your like of the later Sting?
Yeah, I mean, look, you can ask classical musicians and jazz musicians, as much as people might give them a hard time from be a rock star from that vantage point. If you ask any of the guys, the musicians who he has popularized or helped popularize or just paid a regular paycheck to, they're thrilled that a guy like that who has so much cultural bandwidth is aiming it at musical forms that are more obscure, a little bit more challenging. And that's not a defense of the music itself. I am never going to defend that arrangement of Roxanne. It was like Roxanne meets Robitussin. But that being said, I love that he's, you know, the guy's got a lot of cultural power, and if he's directing it at art forms that are generally, you know, sort of dismissed in the mainstream culture, I'm good on him.
And Allison, you know, his classical work goes back to the early days, both in recording The Russians and using music of Prokofiev and recording Peter and the Wolf in the early days. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, he was a jazz musician, I understand, before he even started The Police, so that's always been part of his repertoire. I just like to see him maybe do a little more rock stuff, a little more pop stuff, and bring it back a little more mainstream, because he does have a gift for melody and for writing great songs, and I don't think that gets exercised enough over the past decade or so.
Let's go back to Joel Meyer. What are they saying on the website?
Well, Elliot, the controversy is raging, as usual, on the Soundcheck page at wnyc.org/soundcheck. But one thing that has I'm going to hone in here on that's really causing a little bit of a stir is our guest Steve Allman's insistence that we play that song Soul Cake. Ted in Atlanta writes, Sting always seemed to be a nonconformist intellectual. Therefore, a punk attitude or a lute are equally useful as tools to tick off the boring mainstream, depending on your generation. The Police were unbeatable, and some of his later work is very beautiful. But sadly, that Soul Cake song is dreadful. Now, here's what Maggie, another one of our listeners, had to say. She just writes, are you kidding me? Soul Cake, an 18th century British carol, which he sings precisely as it has been performed for centuries, same tempo and not so different background. He gets credit for that?
All right, maybe we should listen to it as we end the Smackdown and everyone goes back to their respective corners.
Yeah.
Soul Cake from Sting. I want to thank Steve Allman, author of the book Rock and Roll Will Save Your Life, and Allison Stewart, writer for the Washington Post Click Track. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Soul Caking.
God bless the master of this house and the mistress also, and all the little children that round your table grow, the cattle in your stable, the dogs at your front door, and all that dwell within your gates will wish you.
Still to come, a controversy over the future of a Brooklyn neighborhood has inspired a musical called In the Footprint. We'll hear from the cast and creators coming up next. I'm Elliot Forrest, in for John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.
He's good, misses a soul kick. One for Peter, two for